Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, April 11th. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the program, we are going to discuss the marijuana industry. Massachusetts and Vermont have been legalized as far as recreational use. New York, our lawmakers are considering a similar move. Retail sales began in Massachusetts earlier this year. Here for this discussion is Brandon Pollock, the CEO of Theory Wellness, a recreational marijuana dispensary in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Also in the studio is Mark Aronoff, a mental health counselor and author of the book, The Cannabis Craze, a practical guide for parents and teens. If you have a question, our number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Marijuana coming up after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the program, we will discuss the marijuana industry. And joining us are two guests. Brandon Pollock is the CEO of Theory Wellness. The company operates a vertically integrated cannabis business in Massachusetts with a recreational dispensary in Great Barrington. The company's mission is to focus on high-quality, small-batch products and create a craft cannabis industry. Mark Aronoff is a licensed mental health counselor in private practice in Lenox, Mass. He's the author of a new book entitled The Cannabis Craze, a practical guide for parents and teens. If you have a question on really any side of this marijuana talk, give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551, or you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number 800-348-2551. Brandon Pollock, Mark Aronoff, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I'll tell you, this recreational marijuana move has moved so we watched it in the newsroom over the years. It has moved so quickly and snowballed so quickly. I think that our heads still spin, and we, here in New York, we really they sell it in stores in Massachusetts. Brandon, how's business?
Business is great. It's been going certainly better than we possibly could have anticipated. We agree it's moving really quickly at the state level. Multiple states are considering this now, and we like to compare it to alcohol prohibition. Prohibition didn't work. And people are quickly realizing that cannabis prohibition is not a good policy either.
What drove you to this industry? Was this a philosophical or a symptom of just, oh gosh, you know what? There is a big financial opportunity here.
Sure. Well, yeah, I've been a lifelong entrepreneur, and I've always thought that cannabis was something that people should be allowed to use. I believe in personal freedom. And ever since starting to work 6 years ago out in California, it seemed pretty clear that this was going to get legalized nationally sooner rather than later.
Of course, it isn't nationally, and that's an interesting aspect of the whole thing in that, hey, the banks won't touch it, right?
Well, we actually do work with a couple state-chartered banks. Federally chartered banks won't touch it, but there's a lot of local solutions in the industry.
As far as interstate commerce, that's also a no-no.
Correct.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Brandon Pollock is CEO of Theory Wellness. Mark Aronoff is a mental health counselor in Lenox. He has a book. And I've been thumbing through it. It's a book called The Cannabis Craze, a practical guide for parents and teens. Mark, what drove you to write this book?
A good portion of my clients are adolescents and teens, and a good portion of those clients smoke marijuana. I noticed a question emerging that parents sometimes really do not like their teens smoking pot. And what emerged was, well, the premise, we cannot stop a teen, literally, unless you lock him up, from smoking marijuana if he or she chooses to smoke. That then drove me to ask the question, well, what can a parent do? The entire book looks at the question of communication. Why does a teen smoke if he or she chooses? And how to go about it in a manner that would reduce risk if it's true, you can't stop your teen from smoking, then you can at least minimize risk and, as I call it, be smart about communicating with your teens and keeping the channels of communication open.
This book would appear to me to be both one intended to be read by parents and also by the teens.
Correct. Correct.
I like it.
Often the parent will, depending on the parent, recoil at their teen smoking pot. And there's often, I mean, what's behind the scenes is there are often other factors involved. The question of, does marijuana lead to harder drugs? And if marijuana it is a medicine, I like to ask the question, what is the ailment?
And what's the answer your patients will give
Well,
you?
They almost all say, yes, it is a medicine. If I ask what is the ailment, they'll initially start with something like relaxation. But if we dig a little deeper, we find questions of anxiety, depression, sleep problems. Dig a little deeper, sometimes there are issues of alcoholism in the family, family trauma, sometimes neglect and abuse. And there are existential questions, which was my case when I started smoking, I think, early on. Questions of loneliness, alienation, feeling bullied and left out.
But isn't that part of being an adolescent?
It is indeed.
Feeling alienated?
It is. It is. And so is having access to marijuana being part of being an adolescent. So, yeah, I guess you could ask the question, how does a parent, if he or she is even aware of their teen's emotional state? A lot of teens just lock it up and won't let it be known, depending on the teen-parent relationship.
Mm. The number here is 800-348-2551. We discuss marijuana and the marijuana industry. Mark Aronoff has written a book entitled The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. Brandon Pollack is CEO of Theory Wellness, which has a recreational dispensary in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Let's take a call or two, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll take more calls here on Vox Pop. Marta in Poughkeepsie. Marta, you're on.
Hello, Mr. Graff. Thanks. I was thinking that in New York State, this is dragging out legalizing the recreational marijuana because some major vested interests, for instance, law enforcement, which has invested millions and millions of dollars in incarcerating, and a whole law enforcement system that punishes, and we all know who more than others, black people, Hispanic people. So if pot becomes legal, recreational pot, all these people, they're talking about reparations. They're talking about addressing racism, which led to this. So I think there's a huge backlash that doesn't want to see that happen, that doesn't want to see that kind of money that would be coming in from legalized marijuana that would be used to give opportunity to people who've been oppressed and basically crushed. And also in the medical world, now we see medical marijuana is legal in New York State. And that's not surprising because for a long time, people have known that marijuana helps people with all kinds of health problems. And so there's a vested interest in people being sick. We're worth much more sick and dying than we are alive and thriving. And I also find that when it comes to mentality, it's real easy to manipulate alcoholics, and alcohol is constantly being promoted. Apparently, it's much harder to control people, to brainwash them when they smoke marijuana. So I just wanted to ask questions like, is it a vested interest that's putting the kibosh on this recreational marijuana in New York State? Because I definitely think it might be.
All right, I'm not sure these guys are in a position to be able to answer that, but go ahead, fellas.
Well, this is Brandon. I would add, you know, it's certainly an adjustment for law enforcement. I can only add our personal experience, but in Great Barrington, the law enforcement has been very supportive, and they've been really pleased how we've rolled this out. And a regulated marketplace is one less thing for them to worry about. So I think over time, law enforcement will certainly come around to repealing prohibition.
All right, Marta, thanks for the call. Go ahead, Mark.
From a psychological point of view, clearly every state has competing political agendas that are going to be personal. Even yourself with this question is a personal question. I can sense that. In terms of the final answer, I don't think I certainly can't give you a definitive answer, but are there politics? Yes. Does it mean it won't happen in New York State? We don't know that answer.
Hmm. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We'll grab another call or two here before the first break. Helena in South Hadley, you're on.
Hi. My question is more about, I guess it would be more medical uses. I had been trying to find information on how to determine what strains of marijuana are used for things like relieving anxiety, pain, appetite. And I know that sometimes people said that you can use it for glaucoma, but I haven't been able to find any resource which can tell me what a part of the marijuana plant, what strain, what chemical is good for which, ailment.
I can address that a little bit, if I may. There are a number of resources online, certainly. We know in general, and indica strain, and you'll have this actually at Theory. They will break it down for you and menus.
Uh-huh.
I believe that's true. And
yep.
and what each particular offering will be good for. But in general, indica is a relaxant and will produce and reduce anxiety and produce feelings of relaxation. A sativa is more of a stimulant strain that will produce feelings of euphoria and wakefulness. And then mm-hmm. quite a bit of hybrids are available that lean toward indigo or lean toward sativas. And I think what's beautiful about the offering of dispensaries is you have detailed information regarding each strain.
All right. And thank you for the call, Helena. However, these are very subjective descriptions. How does one quantify the deep feeling of inner peace that one gets from, say, smoking indica?
I'd be curious. Yeah. Do you have a...
Yeah. I mean, we would advise, first and foremost, keep track of what you're using and how it works for you. Everyone's different. And the cannabis plant is very complex. There's a lot of different chemicals at work here. But right now, all we have is these subjective descriptions of how they feel.
Okay.
Because of the federal prohibition, there hasn't been anywhere near enough research yet.
We need to take a quick break here. Brandon Pollack is here from Theory Wellness. Mark Aronoff is here, and he is a mental health counselor and an author who has written The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. We discussed the marijuana industry today with Brandon Pollack and Mark Aronoff. And one thing, Mark, you were talking about during the break was some people who may have smoked in the 60s or 70s, and then they go over to Theory Wellness or one of the other recreational dispensaries. They're in for a bit of a shock. The THC content's a little higher nowadays.
Absolutely. It was like 3 to 5, 3 to 10% in the 70s. I think it's upwards of 35% now. I know that the teens I work with, it's interesting, I'm always querying, where are you getting your marijuana? And what I'm finding is it's either parents or adults who are growing it. So they're not actually kind of skimming it off the dispensaries, but it's this ability to grow your own now, which is quite popular, which, it's much stronger than it used to be, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there's been great advances in the genetics of the different strains that we can cultivate, as well as our cultivation techniques that have really refined the product.
Does Massachusetts have any specific THC limits? In other words, you can go buy a bottle of booze, and I think 151 rum might be the strongest thing
you can get.
Is there a strongest THC content you are allowed as a retailer? And presumably you cultivate
sure.
your own.
Right. There is on the edible products. So things that you can eat that are infused with THC have a 5 milligram per dose limit, which is the lowest in the country.
Hmm. All right. Number here is 800-348-2551. Back to the phones we go. Barbara in Averill Park. Barbara, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for having this conversation. I frequently go to California, and I have a history of sleeping issues. I've been to sleep clinics. I can take Ambien, but I found some edibles there that really work nicely during the night. And I went over to Theory Wellness, and they really didn't have anything comparable. And I'm wondering, if New York State finally does legalize, would we be able to get products from California?
So, yeah, you won't be able to get products from California, but what you're starting to see is brands out in California starting to expand into new markets. So I think over time you'll start to see a very, very similar products across the country.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. Number here is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. Kathy in Western Massachusetts. Kathy.
Hi. Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple of questions. One was, when you make the edibles, does it come prepackaged, or is that something that you have a like a kitchen there that you're cooking stuff up?
Yeah, we have a whole food manufacturing facility, so they mix you know, different ingredients to make the different edible products with the cannabis oil, and then it's packaged for retail sales. So that's all done in our facility in Bridgewater, Massachusetts.
Okay. So it's all prepackaged then?
Yep, correct. Everything's packaged, sold in childproof containers at the retail store.
Another question that I had, because I was curious about this, you know, we had a couple of dispensaries open up recently. Do you have an issue with people coming in and just skimming things off the shelves?
No,
I know the price.
Right, right. No, we don't have any issues there, but all of our products, they're kept kind of behind the counters, out of sight. So it's not like a convenience store where you can just kind of walk around and grab stuff.
Right. All right. Kathy, thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Margaret in New Paltz. Margaret.
Hi. Interesting topic. I think in the introduction you said something, I don't think you used the word sudden, but you implied that the legalization of marijuana was coming over a short period of time. Just like every other big legal change, this is the culmination of decades upon decades of grassroots work.
Oh, agreed. But you watch the dominoes fall, and they seem to be falling rather quickly at this point, yeah?
Well, that's the way it works usually.
Okay. Well, thanks, Margaret. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Vox Pop today. Marijuana industry. Brandon Pollock is the CEO of Theory Wellness in Great Barrington and throughout Massachusetts, but the recreational dispensary in Great Barrington. We also have Mark Aronoff here, who is a mental health counselor in Lenox, Massachusetts, and the author of the new book, The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. Back to the phones we go, and Steve in Scotia. Steve.
Hi, I have a question for each of your guests. The first one for the mental health professional. I'm curious as to whether there are any individuals in the mental health field, spokespeople in the mental health field, who have come out to say that they think that legalization of recreational weed is a good idea.
Absolutely. The answer is yes. Without a doubt. Number of professionals across the board, doctors, lawyers, physicians smoke marijuana. That said, they do it at the end of the day and they do it recreationally on the weekends, or I think they hold their job very serious. But there are a number of, you'd be surprised, I guess, to say who smokes. That said, I think there's a responsible and fully developed consciousness around that responsibility toward the limits and the dangers of marijuana as well. So I'll say both things occur.
Now, can you, for example, name someone that folks might know that has come out and said, yes, this is a good idea?
I would be less inclined to name who believes what at this juncture point on the air.
Even though you say that someone has come out and spoken publicly and said,
Yeah. I know a number of professionals.
You know, put their reputation on the line and said,
correct,
this is a good idea.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, I'm a professional.
Okay.
I neither support nor dismiss the use of my particular book toward teen use of marijuana. The idea is how do we reduce harm and how do we balance and communicate something that's going to occur.
But to be clear, you no longer smoke.
I no longer smoke marijuana, correct.
And why did you stop?
For a number of reasons. I came to a point in my life where it no longer served me as a medical anxiety reducer. Meditation, mindfulness, other constructive habits had the final say in my ability to cope. And it was really, I'll just say this now, a point in my life where I was just kind of done with marijuana. I think a number of people, you'll hear them say this, becomes a kind of best friend. Marijuana can it certainly become a daily habit that limits one's abilities socially, professionally. I thrived through the years that I smoked, it was always recreational, and I had a career in the arts as well as a licensed therapist. It was always recreational. But my life, I got to a point where I no longer needed it, no longer wanted it, and every aspect of my life has improved.
Steve, you had a follow-up or a second question for our other guest, yeah?
Yeah, the question I have for the other guest has to do with the fact that an awful lot of the dispensaries that we see popping up seem to have the name wellness attached to them. Is that a chain, or is that name recurring in so many different dispensaries reflection of some sort of parent company chain?
Well, that's a good question.
I assume part of it
has to do with the fact that it was medically available in most states before recreationally available.
Sure.
But Brandon, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So it's not a chain. We're not affiliated with any other companies. You know, we believe cannabis is a wellness substance. We are working to kind of bridge the gap between medical and recreational. We feel that many people can benefit from cannabis, whether you're using it to treat cancer pain or just trying to sleep better at night, or you want a substitute from alcohol, you want a healthier substance to unwind. So we believe it is a wellness substance, and that's why we're theory.
But it's not a chain. In other words, Steve's point was that a lot of stores will have wellness or something like wellness.
Right, right.
And you guys were in business before the recreational legalization took place.
Yeah,
right?
We started as medical cannabis out in 2015.
Okay. Number here is 800-348-2551. Mark Aronoff at Brandon Pollock here, our guests on Vox Pop. Diane in New York. Dave in New York. Sorry, I need new glasses, Dave. Go ahead.
Hello. My question was for the fellow from Theory of Wellness. And I was wondering why the medical or recreational one, the same in Massachusetts, is far superior than the medical marijuana available in New York State.
Superior in what way, Dave?
From stem to stern, the taste, the quality, the effects, and price is similar.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. We work really hard. I'd say two things. First, in New York, you're not allowed to sell smokable flower in the dispensaries, so we have products that the dispensaries in New York can't have. And second of all, in Massachusetts, it's a free market. There's no limits on how many companies there can be. In New York, there's a very low license cap that went through a very complicated process to give out licenses to only a few companies, so there's less competition.
Right. Well, I'm referring to, you know, distillates, you know, the vape cartridges is available in New York.
Yeah, well, no, we appreciate that feedback.
All right, and how many companies are there now in Massachusetts?
I think there's 46 medical dispensaries and 15 recreational.
And that number is growing.
Oh, yeah, every month there's a couple new ones.
Brandon Pollock is here from Theory Wellness. Mark Aronoff is here. He's an author and a mental health counselor, and marijuana is the topic on Vox Pop today. 800-348-2551 is the number, and Marco and Troy. Marco.
Hi, I had a question for Brandon about the licensing process. Now, was there a concerted lobbying effort on your end, whether it's with the municipality or county? How did that work?
Sure. No, nothing concerted. We've been working with the town of Great Barrington for a couple years now. We had a medical dispensary open in town before we went adult use. And then at the state level, it's a lot of paperwork, but it's similar to opening a pharmacy or something like that. If you fill out all your forms, you can get your licensing.
Okay, I really appreciate it.
Thanks
yeah, sure
a lot
thing.
For the call. And I assume the state takes a fairly large cut of your profits, yeah?
Yeah, there's a 20% sales tax on cannabis in Massachusetts at the recreational level.
The number here to call is 800-348-2551. Now we go over to Diane in Glens Falls. Diane.
Hello.
Hello.
this is a question for your mental health counselor that I believe is there. I just recently read an article stating that people with possible psychosis with like bipolar or schizophrenia, that smoking marijuana, the THC can exacerbate their symptoms.
Yes, absolutely. That is somewhat common knowledge on the internet. There has been some research that indicates the active ingredient in THC can exacerbate diagnoses like schizophrenia and other psychotic disorders? So the answer is yes. If I might segue into a statistic that I came across in a research in February of 2019, the Journal of American Medicine Association was looking at people who smoke 18 or younger. And they looked at cannabis in adolescence and later in early adulthood. They found an increase in depression of 37%, increase in suicidal ideation of 50%, and suicide attempts in adolescence increased by 346%. This is a recent research. I saw this in the New England Journal of Medicine. So there are considerations of the developing brain of teens and on. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Diane. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, and we go over to Lee in Lennox. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Lee-Orr. I'm not sure. Lee-Orr?
Yes, Lee-Orr.
All right, you're on.
All right, wonderful. Hi, everyone. First of all, huge shout-out to Theory Wellness. Big fan.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask a question. What do you both of you foresee for the near future regarding the cannabis craze after it calms down, if at all? Will marijuana be normalized like alcohol in our society, and will it eventually die down unlike alcohol?
Sure. Well, my opinion is, first of all, cannabis is already there. It's just not regulated yet in most places in the country. And I think cannabis is going to get more popular and will start to displace alcohol use.
I would agree.
What do you think America is going to look like once it's legal in all 50 states?
I don't think it will be legal in all 50 states, but we're probably about a quarter of the curve, of an upward curve, and it literally has three quarters of the way to go. It remains to be seen what kind of problems will occur among adults, how this will affect productivity in the workplace. I do agree with Brendan that it's safer. Well, you didn't say this safer, but I think it is mm-hmm. safer in excess. You won't find the kind of catastrophic problems you have with alcohol. In that regard, how will it play out day-to-day life? That remains to be seen.
Sure.
I think we can predict that.
No, I would certainly agree that it's objectively safer than alcohol. And in states like Colorado, the town in Aspen, for example, their dispensaries now sell more cannabis per dollar than liquor stores.
You look at places like the Netherlands and Colorado, you really don't see, and Colorado has a few years on us, any major problems.
Well, traffic accidents are up, though, yeah?
I saw a statistic, and then I saw that it wasn't up. I think it depends what you look at. There was a slight increase in traffic accidents. There is not necessarily an increase in crime. I've read some differing reviews on that. They seem to be modulating and moderating their legalization.
Thanks for the call, Lior. The number is 800-348-2551. Mark Aronoff is here. Brandon Pollack is here. And let's see, who's next to be there? Ken in Tivoli. Ken.
Hey, great show. Thanks for having it.
Sure.
Boy, so many things to comment on. One of the things is, you know, believe it or not, there are places in the United States where alcohol is not legal to be sold. There's still dry counties in the South. So we don't even have full repeal of prohibition on a local level in the U.S. I just throw out this one thing. Cannabis has been used as a medicine for at least 4,000 years. However, it's not been smoked as a medicine for 4,000 years. And if you look at how it is used around the world, and it is used around the world, every other country, especially in rural areas, they use it. They use it as a tincture. They use it as a salve. They eat it. They do all kinds of things with it. If you talk with a serious Rastafarian, not a cultural Rastafarian, but someone that is dedicated to the religion aspect, they don't believe smoking it's a good idea. They look at it as the same thing as being intoxicated on alcohol. And it does, they believe it does do nervous system damage in terms of loss of motivation. Any comments on that? I mean, and again, no one should ever have gone to jail for holding a plant. That's madness. That should never have happened. And
I'll jump in for a second.
But it did happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that it can cause emphysema. I, back in the day, would vape, and there's a number of ways. So marijuana burns as in a joint, for example, or on a bong at around 800 degrees Fahrenheit. However, the THC is released at around 300 to 350. So a vape is a heating element that would literally release the active ingredient without causing ash, much healthier for the lungs. And you're right, marijuana was found in a 4,000 years ago in a Dutch grave. Queen Victoria was prescribed it in the 1800s by her royal physician. It's been around for many years, but smoking can be quite dangerous for the lungs over the long haul. I would agree with that. I don't know if you have
I mean, we recommend if patients want a quick onset to use a vaporizer, not necessarily smoke, but we do think vaporizing and having that instant onset can be very helpful for people with certain symptoms. So we promote all different forms and delivery methods of cannabis.
We will take a break here. Our number is 800-348-2551. Brandon Pollack is here from Theory Wellness. Mark Aronoff, whose new book is The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. We'll be back on Vox Pop. Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Marijuana is the topic today. Mark Aronoff is here. Brandon Pollack is here. And Mark, your book, The Cannabis Craze, for Parents and Teens, it's a practical guide. And you mentioned that in the course of your private practice in Lenox, you ask sometimes your clients, who many of whom are teens, why? Do you consider marijuana to be a medicine? And many say yes. And you say that they use it to treat anxiety. My question is, have you ever asked them, is the marijuana causing the anxiety?
I haven't specifically asked that, but I think it's an important question, because even to the earlier caller who mentioned where is this all heading, there's an existential question as a society in the United States that's really perhaps one of the most, if not the most, commercial society in the world. Where does that leave us as humans in relation to what's important? How do we center ourselves to what is important and articulate that in our relationships and our work? The emphasis on results and productivity, which can even be a family dilemma. We saw recent problems with certain population getting their kids into certain colleges, results oriented. Anxiety can be, in fact, often is a repercussion of the possibility of reducing anxiety. We know that certain pharmaceuticals actually cause more problems in the treatment of things like depression and anxiety. So I'm not against medication for illnesses at all, but you pose a deep question, and I kind of counter with sometimes an existential question for my teens. Are we feeling the loneliness gap in your life? How are you dealing? What is your relationship like with your parents? There are levels to the question.
All right. This email came in, and we have a few emails, and then we'll try to get to as many calls as we can. This one came in from Ryan. And this one would be presumably for you, Brandon Pollack. We try not to give specific prices, but this is a question about marijuana prices. And Ryan's question is, when are dispensaries on the East Coast going to have prices comparable to those on the other side of the country?
Sure. No, that's a great question. We get that every day. two things to keep in mind. I mean, first and foremost, it's supply and demand right now, where we have extreme demand and limited supply in Massachusetts. Secondly, the long term, we do have higher labor costs and higher electricity costs out here in Massachusetts. So you're never going to see the same sort of pricing you see out in something like the state of Washington. But prices will be going down in the next couple of years.
All right. This one is from Susan. I acknowledge the short-term anti-anxiety benefit, but can the counselor please comment on the peer-reviewed scientific studies that connect adolescent marijuana use with clinical depression at anxiety later in life. And you discussed this a little bit, Mark.
Yeah, there are some pretty startling statistics, again, pretty recent, that there is an increase in problems later in life. I won't repeat the statistics I mentioned, but yeah, depression increased by 37%.
Yeah.
Some of those statistics look at the earlier you start, the more problems you have, mm-hmm. the quantity that you are smoking. I'm not a research scientist. However, I do believe that if, again, it's a medicine, we need to look at what we're treating and what are the causes of depression. As a behavioral counselor, I often look at what we can do for ourselves to treat what's behind the depression. It's generally, not always, but often there are other components than pure genetics.
This one came in from Michelle and Troy, and then we'll jump back on the phones. Michelle, subject heading, marijuana cream and neuropathy. My father has been diagnosed with neuropathy in his legs, severe pain in the upper legs when walking after a short distance. Meds and shots have been no help. My friend with MS uses a marijuana cream for nerve pain. She buys it in Colorado. Can't find it in New York with her medical marijuana card. My father seemed interested in trying this cream. He's not interested in a vape pen. He'd really only be comfortable using the cream. Is this something you know of or carry in Massachusetts? And that's from Michelle.
Yeah, we do carry topical products. Again, cannabis has no overdose potential and little side effects, so it's worth a shot. Sorry to hear about your father. Hopefully we can help.
Just to add, no one's really asking these questions, but CBD, cannabinoid oils, and this is without any active ingredients, are available in fact, all over the internet and even in locally at Guido's. You can buy these kinds of CBD oils and tinctures. And there's mixed results. I know someone with rheumatoid arthritis who had fabulous results and someone who did not.
I mean, is there science to say, okay, well, this cream will work on your neuropathy? I mean, there are lots of creams out there.
Sure. No, that's one of the big gaps because of the federal prohibition. There's extremely limited scientific data yet.
What if as things loosen up and the research increases, what if the data says, you know, it doesn't work? Will you stop selling it?
Well, if there's no side effects and some people still think it does work, we will keep selling it because sometimes there's varying results for different people.
By the way, it's a huge market. The CBD over-the-counter reduce anxiety, feel better, sleep has really taken off.
All right, back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Colleen in Westfield. Colleen.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you know of any research that has been done regarding the effect of cannabis, maybe a tincture, for nausea that's related to taking or inhaling ketamine for treatment-resistant depression?
So I don't know of any specific research. Certainly, that I believe there have been, if not self-reported, there is a discussion on the internet that it does reduce anxiety, nausea for cancer patients. So it's a very personal, and each person is different in their chemistry. Question: You might try a CBD, you might try a medical marijuana, you might discuss it with everyone at, I believe, Theory Wellness has a certain amount of training and what might be helpful for what ailments. And
nausea, that's a symptom. We typically look at treating symptoms, not necessarily diseases or reasons for the symptoms. So certainly nausea is a symptom that many of our patients have had success mitigating with cannabis.
All right, Colleen, thanks for the call. Over now to Ann in Suffield. Ann, you're on.
Hi, I'm actually calling about CBD ointment and oil for my hands.
Terrific.
My question is, I live in Connecticut, and I've been going up to the dispensary in Northampton to pick it up. Is the quality of what I buy at the dispensary superior to what you can get online or anywhere else? Or does it make no difference? If it works for me, which it is miraculous, to be quite honest, and the arthritis in my knuckles. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, my hands were hurting today, and I said, geez, I just realized I hadn't used it in a few days.
Wow.
And just put it on. But is it better quality, or is it all the same?
I would say, you know, what works for you is most important. It's hard to speak on quality of different vendors, whether it's online or different stores in Massachusetts. We certainly like to promote things that are made locally here in Mass, and we can control the quality.
Right.
But again, most importantly, if it works for you, that's as simple as it is.
All right, Anne, thank you so much. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Frank in Latham is on. Frank.
Hi, first time caller.
Hello.
I've been to all three of the local distribution locations near Albany. And my question is basically, some of the selection on the gummies seem to not have as much CBD as THC. And I'd like everything to just be left in, not necessarily taken out, mainly for health reasons. I'd like the more healthier alternatives. Can you speak to the process of why they would have take out the CBD in gummies?
Sure. So it's in that respect, it's not necessarily taking it out, but the gummies that might have primarily THC in them would just be they would have been created from cannabis strains that contained mainly THC. So the strains that are used to make the gummies, whatever chemicals they had, would flow through into those final products. So we typically do carry a balance, but yeah, I would say the majority of people want pure THC.
Yeah, I noticed when I was in Las Vegas, they seemed to have a lot more choices with more of a mixed concentration, not necessarily trying to cater to just the recreational market or just the medical market.
Yep. Yeah. And we're moving towards that more mature market here. We do make all those different products, but they're not always on the shelves because of the extreme demand we were talking about earlier.
Really, the demand is that much. It's
we'll sell
line up outside on the way.
Some product. Yeah, sometimes on Saturdays we have 3-hour waits, and we'll sell out of products in a couple hours.
Holy mackerel. Brandon Pollock is here from Theory Wellness in Great Barrington. Mark Aronoff is here. He is a mental health counselor and an author of a book called The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. And now we go to Patricia in New York. Patricia.
Hi. Okay, my question is, maybe you answered this. What is the effect that the smoke has on your lungs? Is it better to eat it, or is it okay to smoke it, like a one or two or maybe three puffs at
smoking
the end of
the
day?
Can't be good for lungs. I mean, logic would tell you, right? It can't be good for you.
There's no question that long-term use of marijuana has been shown to irritate the bronchial passages and some potential dangers over years and years and years of use is things like bronchitis and other pulmonary diseases. Bronchitis is an option.
Don't worry about lung cancer.
You know, we were talking about that earlier, that there, I know of no definitive research, in fact, the contrary, that smoking marijuana causes lung cancer. That has not been shown to happen.
We're down on smoking, up on edibles.
Edibles or vaping. Vaping will reduce the irritation significantly.
All right, Patricia, thank you very much for the call. Susan in Saratoga Springs. Susan, you're on.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. I love the topic.
I'm glad.
I am a first-time caller.
Well, thanks.
My question for you is regarding, especially for the doctor with mental health, I am bipolar 2, and I am on disability for bipolar 2, and I smoked pot a little bit in high school. And then I stopped smoking pot, like, right out of college until, like, maybe I was 40. I had children. I didn't drink or anything. And then I had a very bad depressive, you know, nervous breakdown. And I found that I started smoking pot, and I find that I'm both vaping at this time. Really depressed. If I have a couple puffs, it focuses me. I get things done. I feel so much better. Anxiety goes away. Now, I am a PTSD disabled person also. So I've had some trauma in my life, but it's just so efficacious. And I've been on many, many different antidepressants, and they never, ever work. This has been the only thing that has been efficacious for me.
Are you currently taking any medication?
Any comments on that?
Yeah, I have a question. Are you currently taking any medication at this time, Susan, for your bipolar?
Yes, I am. Yes, okay. I am. I take 100 milligrams of trazodone at night to sleep.
Okay.
because I cannot sleep.
Well, you're a...
And I do take a Prozac a day, okay. And it's 40 milligrams.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. I mean, first of all, I just want to congratulate you that you're able to medically treat some of your depressive symptoms with marijuana. That's fabulous. I think it's on a case-by-case basis individually. There's no blanket statement. But the combination of marijuana with many medications does not seem to be contraindicated, interestingly. I don't know all, and I'm not a medical doctor. However, the fact that you're able to feel better having a puff or two, that's excellent. Good for you.
All right, Susan, thank you so much. Now we go to Stephen in Pittsfield, Mass. Stephen, you're on.
Hey, thanks. Great show. Wonderful guests. Really appreciate it. I was curious if anyone's aware of marijuana's content of tar, pesticides, or other harmful compounds, you know, compared to cigarettes, of course, but also considering that we hold the smoke longer and deeper, do we know about these collateral substances in marijuana, especially now that it's being commercially produced? Because when there's more money involved, I tend to not trust as much the process.
However, Stephen, before Brandon answers, I would say conversely, when it is regulated, you would probably have a more uniform product. I mean, if you buy it on the street, you don't know what's sprayed on it or where it came from. So I would assume there's that argument to be made.
Yeah.
But let's go to Brandon Pollock of Theory Wellness.
Sure. No, that would be my main response, too, is, you know, cannabis is being used. And when it's being purchased at a dispensary in Massachusetts, we test everything at a third-party independent lab for pesticides, for heavy metals, for mold.
What sort of regulation do you get from Massachusetts, and what are the inspections like?
Where do I start? We have a couple hundred pages of regulations to follow. We've had, you know, multiple inspections just to open our recreational store over the course of our business. We've had dozens of inspections, so it's very strict.
And what are they doing in an inspection?
They're making sure you're following the rules, producing safe product, not selling to minors, proper security, things like that.
So the inspectors go out back and smoke a joint, or what do they do?
Haven't seen that one yet. No, they, you know, for safety of products, they'll look at our lab test reports, make sure everything's passed, make sure we're testing for all the different contaminants we're supposed to, and match it up to the products in our store.
All right. Well, very good. I guess we're about done here, and I want to thank everybody who called in. Brandon Pollock, how do people find Theory Wellness on the web?
Sure. So, you're welcome to visit us, theorywellness.org, or look for us, Theory Wellness on social media.
And I would point out to those listening in New York and elsewhere, I believe it's a federal crime to buy in Massachusetts and drive it back to New York. So just putting that out there. Now, Mark Aronoff, the new book, The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. How do people find out more about that?
The book is available on Amazon, at your local bookstores, thecannabiscraze.com, a website. You can purchase it there also.
Well, thank you both very much for being here. An interesting discussion. Support comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe, and from local artisans. Hand-picked selection of wines, single malts, and small batch bourbons, grapesandgrainswine.com. Whitney's Farm Market on Country Gardens, Cheshire, Massachusetts, offering landscape and design services, including installation of trees, shrubs, sod, and lawn, stone walls, patios, and more, whitneysfarm.com. And Mass Match, for over 17 years, a locally owned dating and matchmaking service connecting singles through private matchmaking in western Massachusetts and beyond, massmatch.com. Thanks again to Brandon Pollock of Theory Wellness and mental health counselor and author Mark Aronoff for being here today. Thank you for listening. Great calls today, and we appreciate them very much. Zach Malloy, we have great appreciation for Zach Malloy, our engineer, and for Amber Sickles, who answered the phones. Our producer, he's Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff, your humble host. Tomorrow on the program, well, we did the marijuana show today. Tomorrow we'll do booze. John Fisher of the Culinary Institute of America joins Food Friday with his latest cocktail creations. Right now, stand by for news.